Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
A good morning, Word of Life. My goodness, you guys are looking wonderful this morning. How good is it to be in God's house, in God's presence? Hey, the lights are coming up. Look around you real quick. Now the lights are on. Find someone good looking. Just find someone real. Now the lights are up. You can see. Just find some. When you find someone really good looking, look right at them. And I want you to tell them this. Tell them the rest of your life. All right, that was pretty good. But I think you can do better than that. Here's what I want you to do. Look at your second choice. No, don't do that. Just point to yourself. Do it this way. Point to yourself. If you've ever heard me before, you said this before, say the rest of my life will be the best of my life. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to get you to say that as much as I can. The rest of your life will be the best of your life. How many know God has good things in store for you? All right, seven of you. How many know God has good things in store for you? Yeah. Amen. We just heard it. God has plans for you, good plans. Plans to prosper you, give you hope, and give you a future. In the Word of Life, we want you to know God has a great plan for you, that you are so loved. We started this series just a couple weeks ago. Pastor's teaching us how God so loved you and how we're supposed to show that love to other people. How many love it when God gives you an opportunity to show someone that God loves them? It's amazing how those opportunities just pop up sometimes. Pastor was sharing about the book that last week that he bought that he wasn't sure he wanted to get, and he's like, I don't know, and then he ends up right at the right time, an opportunity to bless someone, to show them that God cares. And it's awesome to see how it's just catching on. People are grabbing a hold of the message. We got to the hotel yesterday when we got here, and we're checking in. They couldn't find us, and they said, you're not listed there. You don't have a room here. And I was like, uh-oh. You know, I guess we'll sleep in the inn like Jesus. But and then I said, well, I said, look at, and I said, maybe look under Word of Life. She goes, oh, Word of Life. She goes, yeah, someone came earlier to check your room, and the sweetest lady, she was so nice. She even prayed for me while she was here. She invited me to church. I just felt so loved. I go, wait, did you just say so loved? I go, hey, this is working. And it was awesome. And then she's like, would you guys pray for my two kids, my two boys, and told us her two boys' names. And I said, yes, we'll be praying for them. And so then I leaned over, my wife just started praying right then. I go, we'll just be praying for them right now. Yes, we will. And so she prayed for right there in the lobby. Just wanted to know she is loved and appreciated. So you got to come visit Word of Life. I'm telling you, you'll just feel so loved when you get there. And then my son went down to grab something out of the car, and he was on his way back by, and he said hi to her, and he came to the room. He said, Dad, do you have any of your books in your bag? And I said, well, yeah, I always carry a few books in the bag. And so he looked in my briefcase there, and he found a book I wrote on God's favor. He left. He said, I'll be back. He went down. I didn't know he was going down. He said, I just felt like I was supposed to give her that book. He said, so I took it down to her, and I gave it to her. And we talked for a few minutes, and she told me that she just feels like God just keeps giving her signs. And I said, well, yeah, that probably is true. She said, I met a girl last week at the gym. Her name was Rebecca, which meant peace. And our son's name is Solomon. Solomon said, well, my name means peaceable. She goes, oh my goodness, I just feel like God is just wanting to tell me to have peace, that he's with me, that he loves me. And he said, I think that's what God's trying to tell you. She gave him a big hug, and he came back. He was so excited. And I said, you know, that's just opportunities that God puts in our path to let people know that they are loved. Everywhere you go, people are waiting. People are waiting to know. And I think it's our opportunity. And as we're sharing these next few weeks, that God wants you to know and wants us to let people know that they are so loved. Amen. Amen. How many love your church, by the way? How many love Word of Life? My goodness, I was thinking earlier, I mean, it's got to be pretty easy to love a church like this. It's easy to have a heart for the house when you know the house has a heart for you. How many love your pastors? How many are thankful for Pastor Joel and Pepe? Man, we just love you guys and just so honored to get to be a part. It's the first time to see the new building, all God is doing. It's just so exciting. Got my family with me. My wife, she's usually traveling all over preaching somewhere herself, but she's here today. I told you she was praying for the lady in the... One time we were at the grocery store, she's like, I feel like God wants me to pray for someone in the deli. I said, really? Right now? She goes, yeah, let's go to the deli. I'm like, you go to the deli, I'm gonna go to the vegetables. And I'm gonna watch to see how this thing goes down. So it's amazing, God just uses her. And if you listen to God, it's amazing how he'll just use you to, but we've been happily married now for 15 years. And we just had our 21st wedding anniversary the other day. And so y'all get that later. She woke up, she goes, honey, she goes, you know, today's our anniversary. I said, I know. She said, I had a dream last night that you were gonna give me a diamond necklace. She said, what do you think that means? I said, you know what? When you open your presents, you're gonna find out what it means. She was so excited. I gave her a gift and she was ripping the paper off that. I bought her a book on the meaning of dreams. And I hope that helped. I had no clue what it meant, but anyway, good to have her. And then my son Solomon is with us. How many know God still does miracles today? How many know God still does miracles? He's our little miracle, and he's 13 now. But when Christine got pregnant, we've been 8 years we've been trying. How many have ever asked God for something and it took him longer than a week? Anybody? 8 years, man, we were praying. It'd been easy to give up a lot of times. But we just kept standing in faith. Finally, she got pregnant. We were so excited. Went in for the test, checkups and all that kind of stuff. Found out that Solomon was actually in her fallopian tube. It was a tubal pregnancy. And they said, you know, that we're going to have to go in and remove the baby. You can't have a baby, tubal pregnancy. And so, but man, my goodness, we've been praying a long time. And a lot of people would have said, oh, well, I guess we'll try again. It's just... didn't work out this time or whatever, but we just continue to stand in faith. We used to sing a song growing up, says, whose report will you believe? It says, we shall believe the report of the Lord. The doctor's report wasn't good, but the Lord's report said that you should be fruitful, multiply and replenish the earth. So we just stood in faith. It wasn't easy. We even went in for the surgery they had scheduled. As we got in for the surgery, they got everything ready, did the ultrasound just to get things prepared. They said, wait a minute, someone's made a huge mistake. Your baby's in your womb exactly where he's supposed to be. There's no problem here. And they called it a mistake, and we just called it a miracle. And 13 years later, he's sitting over here. She went on to carry him the whole 9 months, didn't have any problems, came out perfect. And he's not perfect, but he came out, he didn't come out perfect, he got a C-section. But anyway, he's here. So he's born C-section, but you can't even tell when you look at him. He looks totally normal. Only way you can tell he was born C-section is when he leaves the house, he goes through a window. Other than that, he's totally fine and normal. But anyway, that's my family. So good to have them with us today. But I was thinking about this so loved. I was able, Solomon was able to grab a book and give to this lady to show her. And that book just showed her that she was loved. When we were leaving this morning, she was at the front desk reading the book. And I said, you know what? I always carry a few books in my bag. Why? Because I'm looking for opportunities, but I'm prepared when they come. A lot of times we can sit around and just wait for God to give us opportunities to love people, or we can go out looking for opportunities to love people. If nothing else, we can be prepared when God does give us opportunities to show that they are so loved. And a lot of times we just wait, God will do it, God will show up, but we prepare ourselves, we plan. And so I started thinking how we plan to have books. One of the things my wife and son love to do is to bless, like if they see someone that's homeless or someone at the light holding a sign, need food or whatever. So they had this idea to make these little packs and carry some non-perishable foods and stuff. Always have it in the car. So if you ever run into somebody, they're prepared to show someone God's love. So what could you do to be prepared, to plan, to be prepared to show love? Because I think it's important that we have a plan, whether it's for showing love to somebody or whether it's for your life or whether the things you want to do and the things you want to accomplish in your life. How many have got some things you'd like to do in your life, some things you'd like to accomplish? How many like this year to be better than last year? Okay, that's just about everybody. See, if this year's gonna be different than last year, I think you're gonna have to have a plan to make it different. Because if you just wait, hopefully it'll turn out different, nothing's gonna change. Like beginning of the year, I said, I'm gonna lose 25 pounds this year, right? Here we are, 1st of April, I've got 30 to go. Why? Why? Because I didn't have a plan. I just believe it'll go away. You know, I believe God will send somebody. You know, but as long as I keep eating Krispy Kreme donuts, I notice that it doesn't go away. But I've finally got a plan. I just started actually last week. And so I've been clean now off the Krispy Kremes for about 10 days. Well, that's pretty good, 10 days. I mean, my goodness. Last time I only made it 6 days, had a relapse. That red light flashed. The hot now, I blacked out. I woke up shaking, covered in glaze all over me. I'm like, how in the world did I? But see, my decision yesterday to eat the donut gets me to the place I am today. So if I'm going to have some things become different, I've got to have a plan. And I started thinking of planning to show love, planning for our future, planning for a better, whatever it may be, planning for our church to do better. Well, how do we do that? Well, we plant ourselves in God's house. We connect with each other, and we get on the same page. How many know life goes better when you put God first? Yeah. Have you noticed that? Life just seems to go better when you put God. How do you do that? Well, one of the ways you do that is by planting yourself in God's house. You know, that's what you're doing here today, just by showing up at Word of Life. And I can't think of any better place to plant yourself if you're looking for a church than right here at Word of Life. And as you plant yourself, the Bible says your life will flourish. Your relationships will flourish. Your health will flourish. Your finances will flourish. Your business will flourish by planting yourself in God's house. So just by showing up today, when you walk out to your car, you leave those doors, you can just say, Father, thank you this week. My life's gonna flourish. My relationships are good. I'm flourishing because I'm choosing to plant myself in God's house. It's God's plan, one of God's plans to bless you. So I started thinking, you know, the Bible is really just a collection of champions who planned their success ahead of time. Now, I'm not saying life's gonna be perfect. Even with a plan, you can have some bumps. How many have ever planned a vacation and it didn't go just exactly how you'd planned? There's always bumps and things along the way. Even the Bible even told us that. John 16:33 says, in the world, you will have some trials, tribulation, distress, frustration. Awesome. Just came to encourage you a little bit today. It's not looking good. No, we're gonna go through things in life, right? How many have ever been on an airplane that hit turbulence? Let me see if you ever been on an airplane that hit turbulence. Okay, that's most everybody. What did you do when the airplane hit turbulence? Prayed, someone prayed, someone said they screamed, held on, buckled up. Let me ask you, did anybody get off the plane? Like then, like I'm out, can't handle this, it's just too, no, you can't do that. You go, you hold on, you buckle up. Same thing in life, right? Trials, tribulations, distress. How many have ever hit some turbulence in life? Things got a little bumpy, what do? Same exact thing, hold on, pray, buckle up. You can't quit, life's too tough, I'm out. The other day I was sitting next to a lady on the plane. She'd never flown before, and we talked for a few minutes. She's like, I've never flown before, I'm a little nervous. I'm like, don't worry, I'm on the plane. So we talked for a few minutes. Plane took off, I fell asleep. I sleep easy on airplanes. As soon as the plane took off, I'm sound asleep. About 20 minutes in, we hit turbulence. It started getting a little bumpy, and all of a sudden I felt her start hitting my leg. She goes, hey, wake up. I'm like, huh? She's like, do something. I'm like, what do you want me to do? She goes, I don't know, aren't you like a preacher? I'm like, yes, I'm like a preacher, not like a pilot. You know. She goes, I don't know. She goes, just do something religious. So I got up and took an offering. In the world, you'll have some trials, but I love what it says, right? But be of good cheer, he says. He said, I've already overcome the world. Now, listen, about 50% of what we do, speaking, I'm a coach, and a lot of what we do is in the corporate arena as well, outside of the church. I'm on a tour called Get Motivated. And it's a secular business tour. And some of the guys from Shark Tank, I don't know if you've ever seen that show, Shark Tank, are on the tour. And there's one guy on there named Damon John. And Damon was talking in one of the seminars. He was up sharing about his goals when he started his company, and he wrote down his goals, and he made this statement. He said, when you write down your goals, you dramatically increase the likelihood of you accomplishing them just because you wrote them down. They're in front of you. And I afterwards, I said, you know, that's in the Bible. He said, that's not in the Bible. I said, sure it is. All this stuff you guys are talking about is in the Bible. The Bible is the greatest success book ever written. There's a big difference between the person of Jesus and the principles of Jesus. The person of Jesus prepares you for heaven. The principles of Jesus prepare you for earth. There are ungodly people using godly principles all the time to achieve success in their life, in their business, in their relationships, yet they're all in there for us, and half the time the church, we miss them. Like writing down your goals. It's really Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 2. What does it say? Write the vision, make it plain. Why? So you can run with it. Well, here's the thing. It doesn't matter how fast you run. If you're running toward the wrong goalpost, it's not gonna make any difference, right? So you gotta know where you're going. There's airplanes fly all over the country, but until you decide where you wanna go, you just sit at the airport. You can go to the airport and say, I wanna go somewhere, then until you know where you wanna go, you're still gonna be at the airport. And a lot of us go through life, I want things to be different. I want my finances to be different. I want my relationship to be different. But you just keep doing the same thing and wonder why you're not getting anywhere because you haven't decided where it was you wanna go. Once you decide where you wanna go, you can develop a plan. Now I notice whether it's planning to be to show love to somebody or planning for your future, I notice all throughout the Bible that there was a lot of stuff about planning. Now we know we've got to pray. We pray for opportunities, for God to open up opportunities for us. But I think if you don't have a plan, and a lot of Christians, that's what they do. They just sit around and pray. Have no plan, they just pray. Lord, I pray the wealth of the sinners laid up for the righteous. Lord, just give me money. Give me Bill Gates money. That's whose money I don't think God's gonna take Bill Gates' money and give it to some lazy Christian that just sits home and prays all the time. Now, I think you should pray. I think you can't make it without prayer. The Bible even says this in Proverbs 16, commit your plans to me and I would cause them to succeed. So if you don't have a plan, what are you gonna commit to God? You gotta commit your plans. If you do, how many want God to cause your plans to succeed? Well, he can't cause anything to succeed if you don't have a plan. So you can pray and never have a plan. You can plan. Some people plan and never pray. I think as believers, we have the benefit of both, of planning and praying and then covering our prayers, our plans with prayer. And all that goes together to help us accomplish and to do what God has called us to do and created us to do. And so I found that planning was a very scriptural thing. Let me show you this. Three things I want you to remember about planning today. Number one, it's scriptural. I mean, even the scripture we said earlier, Jeremiah something, it's in the Bible, it's in Jeremiah, whatever that one is. Here's the thing, he said, I know the plans, right? I plans for you, plans to prosper you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God was making plans. It's amazing how much time we spend planning weddings and how little time we spend planning marriages. You ever notice? We plan our weekend, but we don't plan our life. And so I think if we saw how scriptural this whole thing is, the Bible's just a collection of all these people who had plans. And here's the thing, a lot of times we just sit and worry about what's gonna happen instead of planning it. All worry is bad use of your imagination. When you worry, you're just using your imagination because God gave us all an imagination. So when you worry, you're just using your imagination for the wrong thing. How many have ever just sat and pictured all the things that could go wrong? Be honest, right? Come on, some of you. How many have to work at being positive just on a daily basis? You just, exactly. I mean, I was born a pessimist. My blood type is even B negative, you know? So I gotta work at this all the time. It's a daily thing. But sometimes we worry about things that turn out completely different. How many have ever worried about something that didn't happen? Don't you hate that? How many still got a headache? Right, even though it didn't happen, it happened to you. Why? Because your physiology or your body goes through all the processes of worry, right? Your blood pressure goes up, causes a headache, your stomach hurts, all those things. Even though it didn't happen, it happened to you. Bad thing is, now if it really does happen, you gotta go through it twice. That's why the Bible said, don't worry about tomorrow. He didn't say don't plan tomorrow. He just said, don't worry about it. If you have a plan, you worry. I've noticed I worry a lot less when I do have a plan. And so how many of you ever had something? You thought it was gonna turn out this way and it turned out completely different. Let me see, have you ever had something like that happen? Most all of us understand this. If you don't, there's a few of you who don't. Here's a simple example. Guy sits down on a park bench one day, notices there's a nun sitting next to him on the park bench. He says, oh, excuse me, sister. He taps her on the shoulder. He said, I gotta tell you, I've had a dream my entire life. I've always wanted to kiss a nun. The nun looked at him and said, are you crazy? I'm a nun. I can't even believe that you would just ask me that. He said, sister, you're right. I shouldn't have, and I apologize. It was just a dream, and you were here, and I just thought, please forgive me. He turned around. A few minutes later, they were both still sitting there. The nun leaned over, tapped him on the shoulder, said, listen, I mean, if I'm here and you're here and it's your dream, I'd like to help you if I could. I'll be willing to kiss you on two conditions. Number one, you got to be Catholic. He said, oh, that's perfect, I am, I'm Catholic. She said, number two, you gotta be single. He said, I'm single. The nun said, okay, fine. So he laid a big one right on the nun. As soon as he got done kissing the nun, he started laughing. The nun said, what's so funny? He said, I gotta admit, I lied to you. I'm actually Baptist. He said, and I'm married. Oh, all of a sudden the nun started laughing. He said, what do you think so funny? The nun said, actually, my name's Kevin. And I was just on my way to a costume party. So here's what I'm saying by that. Sometimes things just turn out different than you thought they were going to turn out, right? So why worry about something that may never even happen anyway? So number one, we see planning is a very scriptural thing. And the Bible's full of plans. Joseph planned 7 years in advance for the famine. The Passover was part of the leaving Egypt plan. You can go in the Bible. There's plans for building the temple. There's plans for offerings. There's plans for battle. All throughout the Bible, we see all these people who develop plans. And because they had a plan, and I love that God included all the details of the plan, I think it was so we would clearly know and clearly understand that having a plan is a biblical, scriptural thing that God would want us to do. How many can see that just from that right there? So it's real simple to see. So number one, remember, planning is scriptural. For whatever it is you want to do in your life, whatever your plan is. Planning, number two, second thing, planning will put you in a better position. Because whenever you do plan, you usually plan to succeed. You don't plan to fail. So when an opportunity comes, like yesterday, Solomon felt like he should give her a book. Well, because I plan for those kind of opportunities, sitting on a plane, wherever it may be, I always have some extra books in my bag. It gives me an opportunity. I was planned, I was prepared. You're in a better position to succeed if you have a plan for whatever it may be that you want to do. Now, I've found that some people don't feel like they're worthy of making a plan anyway because God wouldn't bless it. Had a guy the other day I was doing some coaching with, and he had a business that had failed. And he lost everything. He was coming back. He had an idea for a new business, but he was afraid. He's afraid to try. He's afraid to start it. How could God bless it? I mean, he messed up before. He lost everything, foreclosure on his house, had to file bankruptcy. And he's like, I don't think God would ever bless me and trust me again. Well, goodness, I began to tell him about God's grace and mercy. How many are glad God doesn't hold all your mistakes against you? Seven people only made mistakes. How many ever made a mistake in here? Anybody ever made a mistake in here? Oh, well, there should have been more people excited about that. But if you've never made a mistake, you probably never made anything. Everybody makes mistakes. The most successful people I know have the most mistakes on their resume. Why? Because they try harder than everybody else. You just get back up, you go at it again, you try again. Last time I was here, I had my book came out called Another Shot. And people said, where'd you get that title? Where'd you get that name for that? And it was from, we worked some with the NBA and different basketball players. There's a guy by the name of Kobe Bryant, who he's retired now. But in 2014, he set the record for the most missed shots in the history of the NBA. The most missed shots. Now, what's amazing is 7 days after he set the record for the most missed shots, he passed up a guy by the name of Michael Jordan for the most points scored during his career. So the same guy with the most missed shots passed up the greatest player of all time. How did you do it? He said, I just took another shot. I said, how easy is that? That's a good title for a book. He said this. He said, you can't let the fear of failure or the fear of criticism keep you from trying again. Sometimes you just got to get up and take another shot. We all make mistakes. Plans don't work out. Things fail. Your business didn't work out. Your relationship didn't work out. Whatever it may be, you just get back up. I love, there's a quote on the back of the book that Evander Holyfield put on the wrote about the book. I'm mentioning his name because I want to tell you about this quote, not because I'm just trying to drop names. Like, I know Evander Holyfield. Not a name dropper. I just want to tell you what the 5-time heavyweight champion of the world put on the back of my book. And he said... Seriously, I'm not dropping names. If anything I've learned from spending time with Oprah, it's that you should not drop names. But here's what Evander Holyfield, he said, it's not getting knocked down that makes you lose the fight. It's not getting back up. We're all going to get knocked down. How do you get back up? Ladies, like, can you pray? We really want a family, but we're just afraid. I don't think God would bless our plan for a family because I made some mistakes younger and I had an abortion and now we're trying to get pregnant. I just don't have the faith to believe. And I said, my goodness, if you waited till everything was perfect and you made no mistakes for God to do something for you or to bless your plan or to use your life, my goodness, think of all of our heroes in the Bible that God would have never done anything with. My goodness, the list of our heroes in the Bible were the most jacked up people you ever met. Think about it. I wrote down a few of Noah. He was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Moses was a stutterer. Gideon was afraid. Leah was ugly. I'm not judging Leah. It's in the Bible, people. It's in the Bible. Samson had long hair. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah was too young. David had an affair. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Nobody wanted to see that. God still used him. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. The disciples fell asleep while they were praying with Jesus. Peter denied Christ. Think about that. I don't know him. God still used him. Said, come on, I can still work with you. Think about that. I had a friend recently, a guy I've been on vacation with, and he was talking to someone else, and he goes, you know, I really don't know Dave that well. I'm like, we've been on vacation. We don't know me. Deny me. I unfriended him immediately on Facebook and Instagram. Didn't take but once for me. Jesus gave the guy 3 chances and still said, come on. Why would you deny Christ if you're with him? You ever thought about that? Like, why would he do that? I don't know if this is the reason exactly, but I did see this in the Bible. Could be part of the reason I don't know. A few verses before Peter denied Christ is when Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. He could have still been upset about that. I don't know. I'm kidding. You don't like your mother-in-law? I love my mother-in-law. She's awesome. A couple of Christmases ago, I got her a cemetery plot for Christmas. I didn't get her anything last year. She was mad at me. You didn't give me anything for Christmas this year. I'm like, you didn't even use what I got you last year. I mean, I'm just saying. Yeah. Anyway. My wife said, you don't like any of my family, do you? I said, I do. I love your mother-in-law. Okay. So anyway, I mean, this list just keeps going, right? I mean, Mary worried about everything. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Speaking of that, we got on the elevator. I was in California. This lady got on the elevator with me. She goes, you know, you look like my third husband. I was like, yeah, I don't know how they do it in California. I was like, wow. I was like, how many times have you been married? And she said, twice. Anyway, there's this whole list of all these people. How about this one? Lazarus was dead. And God still used him. So to think God can't use you, here's the thing. It says in 1 Samuel 16, verse number 7, the Lord doesn't see things the way that you see them. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Here's the last thing. Planning is essential. I think it's vital, it's important, whether it's giving us opportunities to show love and let this community know, our people around us, that they are so loved, or whether it's accomplishing the dreams and the things that you have in your heart that you want to do this year to make this year different than last year. If this year's going to be different than last year, you have to do some things different this year, right? It's like this. Last time I was here, I made this statement. If you want tomorrow to be different than today, learn something today that'll make tomorrow different, right? If you go into tomorrow with the same information you have today, you won't have it tomorrow, you'll have a longer today. The Bible says it this way: hey, whatever you do, get wisdom. Whatever you do, get. How many like to be doing better than you're doing right now? Okay, if you're not doing as well as you'd like to be doing, it just means there's something you don't know. When I heard that, I went from being a know-it-all to being a learn-it-all. Obviously, there were some things I didn't know. Now I try to learn something every day. Sometimes it's little things, but if I can learn something today, it'll make tomorrow different. So that's why you go to my house. I got over 4,000 books. I can't get enough books. There's too much stuff I don't know. I hate not knowing stuff. If the difference between where you are and where you want to be is what you know, you'd do everything you could. The Bible says wisdom is more valuable than silver. It's more profitable than gold. It's more precious than rubies. I learned the other day, this wasn't any big life-changing revelation, but like I said, sometimes it's little things, but if you could learn something, you know, I learned if your airbag deploys on your car, you know, if your airbag deploys, it costs $500 to put an airbag back. I didn't even know that till the other day, how much it cost. I never really thought about it until I was looking at this car, and they were explaining to me one of the benefits of this car was the passenger side airbag could turn off. Because like, if no one's with you and you have an accident, you still pay $500, right? Even though no one's there. So the benefit of this car is you could turn the passenger side off, which actually then made me start thinking about the people who were with me, right? I mean, that's $500. You gotta start thinking like, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But I'm saying there's always something to learn. I have a USB thing I brought. I'll tell you about that in just a second. It won't be for all of you, but there'll be some of you that want to develop a plan. That's what I do as a coach, help people develop plans. I was back there signing some of them. And my name's Cheryl. I'm like, is that Cheryl with a C or Cheryl with an S? Right? There's like, you always learn new ways to spell names. Amy, there's like five ways to spell that, you know? So I'm always learning new. I was in South Africa recently. I learned names I never even heard of over there. But there was a new girl at Starbucks the other day. I was just messing with her. You know, I went in, she had a little badge on, trainee. And I was like, that's funny. Your mom named you trainee. You know? And she looked at me, she said, it's Trinay. I didn't have any clue. You see what I'm saying? There's always something to learn. So whatever you do, you know, get wisdom. There's a small business owner, had a little paint company. He did painting, right? He had a pickup truck, had all of his equipment in the back, had one guy work for him, and they were doing jobs, making $2,000-$3,000, you know, on jobs they were doing. But he had a dream to do more. He wanted to do more for his family. He wanted to give more. How many like giving in here? How many like giving? Most of us. How many like to be able to give more than you give right now? I mean, we got this beautiful new building, all that God's doing, amazing things through our church. It takes a lot of money to do all that kind of stuff. I mean, how many like to be so blessed? Hey, Pastor, put me down for $100,000. How many like, it's not a pledge, I'm just asking right now. People look nervous, like, is this the offering? I'm just saying, how many like to be able to do that, right? Heard about a church, got a phone call, and the receptionist answered the phone. The guy said, yeah, I'd like to speak to the head hog at the trough. The assistant said, excuse me? You talking about our pastor? He said, yep, that's who I'm talking about, the head hog at the trough. She goes, that's rude. It's our pastor. We love him. We respect him. We don't talk. Can I help you with something? He said, yeah, I heard about the new building you guys just built. I just wanted to make a $100,000 donation. And she said, hold on, let me see if Porky's in. Here's the thing, the more blessed you are, the greater blessing you can be. And so this guy said, I want to be able to give more, do more. So we developed a plan. I went, sat down with him. We developed a plan for his business, how to get him from where he was to where he wanted to be. Today he's got four vans, crews in each of those vans, fully wrapped, beautiful vans, running crews all over, making big money. They did a job recently, cost over $500,000 they made on one job. He said, if I hadn't had a plan, I would have never got from where I was to where I wanted to be. Young man from Cleveland, Tennessee, or I'm sorry, Cleveland, Ohio, was a record producer. He's producing, doing some stuff, doing music, had a dream, wanted to do more, and did some coaching with him, and we helped him develop a plan, put a plan together. And to make a long story short, I was at his home in LA recently. He's got 8 Grammy Awards now across his mantle, and he was just named vice president of Motown Records. He said, I never got there if I hadn't had a plan. What's amazing is plans are for us. And how many like to take me home with you? I'll go to your house. We'll help you develop a plan for this year to make this year better than last year. I can't go with everybody, but if you can cook good, I might be interested. But here's the, of course, I can't go with everyone. So what we did is we took we made an opportunity. I took what I sit down with people that people pay thousands of dollars to learn and put together. And I said, how can I give it to a lot more people? And so I developed a little program that goes with the book, Another Shot. On how to develop a game plan. Because the most important thing you can know is what to do next. The Bible says, whatever you do, get wisdom. I remember going to a seminar with a guy by the name of Peter J. Daniels. Went to a seminar, and he's doing better than I'm doing, so obviously he knows something I don't know. So I'm writing as fast as I can. At the end, he goes, I've got all kind of books and CDs. There's always invest in yourself. I'm one of those people, I want everything. I don't want to miss nothing. If he knows something I don't know, I'm going to find out what it is. And so I went back there. I said, I want everything. Everything he's got, give it to me. They said, all right, if you get everything, they added it up. They said, if you get everything, it's $1,600, right, for everything. And I didn't know he knew that much stuff, right? I wasn't expecting it to be $1,600. I'm like, my friend said, that's crazy. He said, you're not going to get it, are you? I said, I think I am. I think I'm going to get it. He said, you think it's worth it? I said, you know what? I think I'm worth it. I don't buy a book because I think the paper's worth it. I buy a book because I think I'm worth it. I mean, if I don't think I'm worth it, why would anybody else think I'm worth it? I mean, you go to a church that understands the value of wisdom. We got a bookstore back there to help you to get information, to get books, because we believe that wisdom can make a difference. Plus $1,600, I'm like, well, the Bible said wisdom's more valuable than silver. It's more profitable than gold. It's more, actually, this sounds like a pretty good deal. Anyway, I bought everything, and I got a lot of good ideas. That really helped me. I wouldn't exchange it for the world. I made mistakes that cost me more than $1,600. If I just had some wisdom. So it really birthed in me a passion to develop things that would help people. I get 30, 40 minutes with you this morning, but if I could go home with you. So we took a little USB drive, just goes in your computer. And if you don't have the book Another Shot, you'll get it on here. You get the ebook. And this just pops out. It's a little USB. Just stick it right in your computer and you'll get the book Another Shot. You'll also get the audio books, me reading the book. If you don't like to read, you want me to read it to you, lay down at night. I'll read you bedtime stories. We'll have a great time. Anyway, it'll be me reading the book. But in here is a 30-day plan of what to do next. At the end of the 30 days, you'll actually have a written plan. So every day you'll get workbook pages. When you wake up in the morning for the next 30 days, I'm going to be there waiting for you. And me and you will go through this together, and we'll develop your plan. And I had some friends that joined me along the way, too, just to help out. Like decisions. How many have ever made a bad decision? How many like to know how to make right decisions all the time? Wouldn't that be? I have a friend who ran Disney World in Orlando, all 4 parks, water parks, 200-something restaurants, 70,000 employees. For 13 years, he did all that. I figured he knew something about decision-making, and it would cost you tens of thousands of dollars to sit down with him. And I said, will you help me out, be my guest one day? So decision-making, he comes on, and me and him talk to you about how to make better decisions, how to make right decisions. Terry Savelle Foy, she's been here a few times. She's on one day. She's my guest on one day. And we just wanted to see how high and how low you could go in one. I talk like this. She talks like this. And so it's pretty. Anyway, that's a fun day. And then one day we talk about attitudes and working on your attitude, how to have a good attitude. I'm like, who do I know that has a really good attitude that I could have on here to help us a little bit with that? And I've got a friend who's got a little church in Houston, and I'm like, hey, listen, Joel, I want to help you get your name out there a little bit, and I think if you'll be on my program, it's going to do a lot of good for your ministry. And so Joel Osteen's on it one day, and he said, this is so exciting, Dave. I can't wait. And so we have a lot of fun on there talking about your attitudes. Anyway, all that's in there. There's just a few of them left. They got a bunch of them in the first service. But if you want to spend the next 30 days with me developing a plan, it normally comes in a big box thing. It's like $1,000 if we're in a corporate arena, in a corporate setting. In church, we put it on the USB drive, and you can get it for just $100 while we have them left. It's like 90% off. Say thank you. Could at least be grateful. I mean, that's a really good deal. Anyway, invest, it's just an investment you make in yourself. If you're like me, I don't have time to talk to you about all this, but I took three of our programs and made 6 months worth of coaching. So if you want to spend 6 months, you'll get that one I just talked about, plus two of our other programs in here, 12 Traits of the Greats and The Force of Favor. So it's 6 months of videos, books, workbooks, all kind of stuff. And that's back there as well. Normally that's like $2,500 and you get the whole thing for $300. So just $100 per program. And that'll be a blessing. And that all goes to help us with some of the missions work we're doing in Uganda as well. So not only you're gonna bless yourself, you're gonna bless some other people in the process. So make an investment in yourself. And I believe it'll help you develop your plan to get you where you're wanting to go. Amen? How many believe God has great plans for you? God has greater plans for our church. And I believe as we continue to be, to show this love, to let people know that they are so loved, as God has so loved us, I believe it's gonna make an incredible difference in our community. We're gonna see many more people come to find out, well, to discover the greatest plan of all, the plan of salvation, that God loved you so much, he is willing to give his very best for you. You know, maybe you're here and part of that plan was for you to make a decision to put God first in your life. Maybe you're here today and you've never made that decision. You say, Dave, I've never made a decision to put God first in my life. Life goes better when you put God first. And if you've never made that decision, I want to give you an opportunity just before we go today to say, Dr. Dave, pray for me. I want to make a decision today to put God first in my life. Maybe you're here and you say, you know, Dr. Dave, at one point, God was first place in my life. At one point, I had made him first place. But if I'm real honest today, I've allowed some other things to come before God in my life. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a job, finances. I don't know, something you put before God and you realize today, you say, I'm ready to put God back where he belongs. First place, number one in my life. Whether you're sitting in this room, whether you're watching us online right now, bow your heads just for a moment. I'm gonna look across the building one time. You already know if this is you. God's already tugging on your heart. He won't condemn you, but he may be convicting you a little bit. And you say, I'm ready to make the decision today. I'm ready to put God first or put God back first place in my life. When I count to three, I'm looking across the building just one time. If you would, just hold your hand up real high so I can see it, and then I'm gonna pray for you. If that's you, one, two, three. Let me see your hands all across the room. God bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. All through the balcony, God bless you. God bless you, God bless you on the side. God bless you in the very back. God bless you, God bless you. Father, I thank you for hands in every section across the room today, throughout the balcony. People that said, today I'm ready to make a decision to put God first. Lord, I thank you that you don't just give us a desire to change, but you give us the discipline to make the changes that we need to make. Today, by lifting our hand, we turn the page to a brand new chapter, a new day. We receive the incredible gift you gave. You said it's this simple. If we would just believe it in our heart and say with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we'd be saved. You know, I want everyone in the room, just everyone to say those simple words with me. Say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. You talk about a decision that can make the rest of your life the best of your life. There's no better decision you could make than to put God first. You know, we talked about another shot. Another word for that would be a comeback. If you lifted your hand, I can't think of any greater comeback you could make than to come back right here to Word of Life. Come back here every opportunity you get. Bring your kids, bring your family. I promise you a year from now, you won't even recognize yourself or each other. God's gonna do so much in your life. I believe that decision you made today, right here to plant yourself here at Word of Life, I think is one of the best decisions you could ever make. Amen? And listen, if you did make that decision, I promise you, this is a great place to learn and to grow in the things of God. I'll be in the back after the service, just out those doors. They have a place, sign your USBs or whatever. Love to meet you. Hope you'll invest in yourself. But the most important investment we can make is the investment in the kingdom of God. And so many people made a decision to put God first. Can we put our hands together for those today that made that decision? God bless you.